But this is all right. I can survive this way. So one grandparents' day, this family decided they'd all go to church together, and they'd sit with grandma and grandpa in the pew. And so they went to church, and little Johnny, he was there as well. And he was, he's full of life, excited. And the choir came up and assembled, and choir director gets up there, and the choir director's directing, and little Johnny's sitting there. Mother looks at him and says, "Sit still. In church." Pastor gets up and he's preaching away and he's pounding the pulpit. And he's, little Johnny, he's pounding the pew and he's making motions. And grandma looks at him and says, "Listen. Listen." After church service, little Johnny came in. They were having dinner, they just finished, and he came in. He says, "You know what, everybody? I decided to become a minister when I grew up." Ooh, Grandma looks, that's really okay with us. Mom looks and says, "What made you decide that?" Well, Johnny said, "I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, and I figure it'll be more fun to stand up and yell than to sit and listen." I don't know if such a future dream would be pleasing to God, but at least the little guy has ambition. This month we're looking at the whole area of serving, and today I want to talk to you about what pleases God. I mean, I think every one of us, our desire is to please God with who we are and what we do. And I want to assure you that God knows our desire. And please take that home with you today. If anything you take home that God is pleased even with our desire to please him, right? But let's look a little deeper. You turn to Acts chapter 6, if you will, in your Bibles. Acts chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 to 8, but I want to look particularly 1 to 4 at the moment, because I want to talk about what God is pleased with. See, if you look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word.'" Now, let's just stop there. God is pleased when, now you know I'm going to say this, we are obedient. When we're obedient. You know, I got to tell you, I was praying and I was saying, "God, I talk about obedience all the time. What is it? It's got to be another word to put in there." No, there's no other word. We're obedient. Now, there's a question that I have, and it's in here, and then maybe you had this question too. Were the apostles, were they just kind of having a bad day, these 12? I mean, did they just not feel right, and so they just didn't want to serve the tables? The answer is no. They were serving people by spending their time praying and studying the Word and then bringing the Word to them. Just like I'm serving you when I spend time praying and developing the ministry of the Word. See, when I do that, I am serving the body of Christ. It doesn't mean that I'm a big shot and I won't do those kind of things like wait on tables. I love cleaning the kitchen up, but I got to tell you that you would not want to eat my cooking. I cannot do that to my family. One time I decided to make a fancy lunch for Joan. I mean, we were in Bible college at the time and we were married for a couple of years. And I mean, you get kind of goofy when you're newly married. So I made lunch from scratch. Yeah, I scratched and opened a tin of tomato soup. And it was boiling away, and I mean boiling. I mean, I added the milk, can of milk, put it in, and it was boiling, blah, 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 gurgling up. And little brown things were jumping on the top. Blah, blah, blah. I later found out that it was burnt milk that on the bottom, and so I added another cup of water just to ease the burning. I mean, you use water to put out a fire, don't you? So I thought that was brilliant. And then I noticed that I had a lot of water in there in that their pot, so I added some rice. You know, you've heard of tomato and rice soup. I mean, this had to be right. So I just took it from the tin, got it from the bag that's in the tin, and I threw it in there. And I thought it would soak up the water. Well, it kind of did, but the brown spots were still coming to the top, so I added bacon bits. You know, from the shaker, I was trying to camouflage the little brown things. And you know, I thought if I added that brown stuff that tasted all right in baked potatoes or pierogies, they must taste great in soup. So Joan arrived home, and I dished out the soup, thump, hit the bottom of the bowl, and we sat to enjoy my culinary abilities. Listen, there's a reason I stick to preaching, all right? Joan took a taste of that, and she was eating it like this. Crunch, crunch, crunch went the rice. Crunch, crunch, crunch went the bacon bits. And I took my scoop, and I was eating away, and I just put my spoon down, and I said, "What do you think?" She said, "Hmm." I said, "I'm not eating mine. It's going down the drain." She said, "Thank you. I know what I'm called to do, and I know what I'm not called to do. And I've given myself to what I'm called to do." And we please God when we do what He has called us to do. But I want you to notice that when they began to look for people to wait on the tables, they looked for people that were men of God, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. Our society today would have people think, well, to do that, I mean, to serve table, you don't really need anything. Let me tell you something. I think you need to be more full of the Holy Spirit to be a servant than any other job that you will ever do in your life. Because you see, when you're up front in ministry, when you're up here and you're preaching away and you get some encouragement along the way, when you're up singing, when you usually get an applause here and there. You get people coming up and saying, "Oh, what a great job!" We get some kind of feedback for what we do when we're up front. But the people that are behind the scenes, doing the servant stuff, say working in the nursery. I mean, you may work in there and you may change diapers. You do all that stuff. You eat Cheerios that children have already sucked on just to impress a child. And you never get much of anything. Parents drop their kids off, pick them up. Don't say much to you, maybe. Oh, thanks. But the point here is, God knows. And if you're doing what you're doing is unto the Lord, then God is pleased. Amen? And you've got to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of the wisdom, to do that ministry. So don't let anybody put you down, including yourself. Don't let anybody make you think that you're little because you don't have some fancy title or you're not up in front doing something to glorify God. You're doing it to glorify Him always. Amen? The cloud of unknowing, there's a statement that says, it's not what you are nor what you've been that God sees with His all-merciful eyes, but what you desire to be. God sees what you desire to be. Now that's a comfort. Listen to this verse 2 again. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." These 12 knew whom they served, and it wasn't man. Because if they were serving men, they would have just left their ministry of the Word, went over, and served tables. But they were servants of the Most High God. They were only concerned about doing what God called them to do, not what everyone thought they should do. Now, we often fall into a trap because the enemy's good at this one. We start thinking, "Well, I can't do that. I can't step out and do that. I mean, what are people going to think? I mean, what are they going to think if all of a sudden I start doing that?" And we go around and we're concerned. We worry about what everyone else is thinking about it. And then you call yourself a servant of the Most High God. See, you're a servant. If you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you serve people, not please people. You serve people. Now, if we live our daily life thinking and fretting and worrying, well, what do they think? What are they going to say? What are they going to do? What do they think about my front lawn? What do they think about the painkiller in my home? I don't know what they think. I don't know what they think. And then we come into church. We shout, we holler, we even sing, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Then we go, oh, I wonder what they're going to think. What do they think about my outfit? Ooh, what are they going to think? That's not serving the Most High God. That's serving people, and ultimately, that's serving yourself. It doesn't mean to go to the opposite extreme, because some of us do this. We go, praise God, I don't care what you think. Look at me, I want to tell you something. I don't care about you. Biggest thing that always gets us into trouble is balance. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be well balanced, for your adversary the devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. We have to be balanced with our serving. See, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to listen to God. We're supposed to be led by His Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit says it's okay, then it's okay. See, if it's all right with Him, then it ought to be all right with me. And then at that point, I should not care what other people think if it's all right with Him. Paul says, I'm free from anyone's control. Yet I've made myself a bondservant to everybody that Christ might gain the more. The greatest joy came over me when I realized that I serve God only. Because you don't get your worth and your value from a position and what you do. You only get it from Jesus Christ, because He gives you value, He gives you worth, and when you do what He created you to do, then the joy increases as you know that God is pleased because you're obedient to Him. God is pleased when we're obedient. God is pleased when we help others. If you look at this, verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Why? Because these guys were obedient to God. You see, God is so pleased when we're obedient and when we help others. As believers, we should want to please God by doing what He calls us to do. First and foremost, I want to obey God, and secondly, I want to be a blessing everywhere I go. I want to help people. And you note these words in verse 3, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, why would that be in there? I mean, these guys are just, they're only waiting on tables. Nothing important. They're just serving at a table. Well, listen. Do you know what one of the reference names of the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. So if I have the Holy Spirit living in me and He's called the Helper, then how can I keep from wanting to help people? Do you want to help people? Everyone say, I just want to help somebody. You just say it. I just want to help somebody. Come on. I just want to help somebody. We're taught in this simple little passage that anybody who wants to minister must want to serve. I remember in the early days of our ministry, I can go a little longer, can I? Just tell you one more story. Have your permission? Don't shake your heads no. I'm going to do it anyway. I remember in the early days of ministry, Joan and I, it's my wife, I worked so hard. I'd prepare and I'd study and I'd practice in front of a mirror. And I'd practice in front of Joan. And then I'd go and preach that same message, and Joan had to pretend she was interested on Sunday. You know, I felt bad for her. I mean, I do now. I didn't at the time. And I bleed my heart out, and then it would all start after a Sunday service. All started what? You know, nobody appreciates me. No one said anything to me. This could be going on in my head, and I'd have a little discussion with myself on the way. Nobody this, you know, nobody that. I preached so hard. I mean, I gave it all I got. The party's over. I'm just left with the mess. I go home and I get myself kind of geared up to do the next one, and the next week, same thing. Nobody cares. Even though people are going through and say, hey, good this morning. Yeah, didn't hear that. Nobody cares about me. Nobody hates me. No encouragement. And then all of a sudden, I'd start finding something wrong with Joan. I'd start thinking, you know, wait a minute, Joan doesn't encourage me either. She hasn't complimented me in a long time. And I think, it's fine for you. You just get to go and sit in the pew. I have to stand up there and preach. I toil for Sunday. You don't. It's fine. You go ahead, Joan. I'll do all the work. And then it goes from bad to worse. Then, nobody loves me. And then here it comes. I'm just everybody's slave. You know? And then we start going to the opposite extreme, and then we start thinking, you don't do anything for me. I'm not going to do anything for you. That's why my socks are sitting in a pile on the floor now. That's why I'm not hanging my shirts up. But you know what I've discovered? If you need encouragement, instead of getting mad at everybody that you think isn't giving it to you, why don't you just tell God what you need and let him give it to you? You see, I finally started learning that when I started feeling that nobody was helping me, I understand it's wrong. It's not wrong that, I got to tell you, it's not wrong to feel like, well, I need appreciation once in a while, and we need to feel appreciated. I mean, we need that, and we do need to have God do some special things in our lives once in a while. But I've learned that when I get to that point where I need something special, whatever it is, sometimes you don't even know why you feel the way you're feeling. You just need something. But isn't it true that when you start feeling that way, we just get mad at everybody around us. We don't help anymore. I learned that I have to go to God and say, God, I need you to do something for me. I just need you. I want to help others. I just need you to help me. I've discovered that if you go to God, God always works through other people, and they come alongside and they just help you. But if you leave God out, trying to get it from other people, you're never going to help people. And that's why it's so important to have that relationship with God in such a way you can go to him anytime, any place, saying, God, I just need it. I need you. When we do what God calls us to do, it not only pleases God, but it becomes a blessing to others. That's what happened in this passage. See, that's why it is so vitally important to become involved in other people's lives. That's why we ask for servants in various areas of the ministry, children's church, nursery, prayer. There are so many areas in which God calls people. But sometimes we're too busy being mad at everybody around us that we don't even see him calling. Person who's a willing servant can do such great things for God. I mean, Stephen went on, he did great things for God. The great thing about being a servant for God is you can do great things for God if you're willing to serve God. And I tell you what our society needs today, what our world needs today. I mean, we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11. What our world needs to see is they need to see evidence of Jesus' servanthood through us. On the job, our neighbors. The fruit of the Spirit flowing through us. And when you start being a blessing to somebody, you will feel fulfilled. Let's just pray. Let's talk to God. I ask you this morning, while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, first of all, I just want to say that don't wait for a title. Don't wait to be famous. Don't look for ways you can please people. Start laying your hand to what's in front of you and begin doing what God has called you to do. Do it unto the Lord and do it with joy, because that's what pleases God. Today, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, are you saying, God, why am I doing what I'm doing? God, why? I want to do this for you. Am I doing this for you? Check why you're doing what you're doing. Is it to please God? Are you obedient to Him? If you are, you're a blessing to others. Here this morning, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you want to come to Him and you say, Lord, I want to know what you're calling me to do. I want to know what pleases you with my life. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're coming into that way, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. God knows your heart. Father, thank you that you know our heart, the desire that's right within us. You know it. Our desire is your people's to please you. Often, Lord, everything else gets in the way. For that, we ask you to forgive us. And you do. Lord, we want nothing more than to serve you, to be obedient to you, to help others, just like you helped us. We extol you and we praise you. We crown you as our King. You're Lord of our life and Lord of this church. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.